We will continue to work to stabilize the situation. We call on Iran and its proxies to cease completely the attacks. All parties should exercise maximum restraints. We also discuss the need to end the crisis in Gaza as soon as possible. This includes an immediate ceasefire and the immediate release of all hostages by Hamas.
Voice of Ursula von der Leyen, the EU president, speaking over the weekend, certainly on what is a pretty historic time. I don't remember the last time World War III was trending on social media. Never comfortable with that, but certainly on Saturday, we watched as Iran targeted directly from its own soil, Israel, and launched hundreds of drone missiles and ballistic missiles and drone attacks. 99% of those, thankfully, knocked down by the Iron Dome. Otherwise, we'd have seen thousands of Israelis killed. I think a lot of people forget that. Without that dome, there'd be thousands dead. And certainly, the strikes launched in retaliation for this airstrike in Syria earlier this month that ended up killing some top-level IRGC generals. You know, this was not, you know, quote unquote, an embassy as we would know it. This was more of a strategic weapons depot. But this is where a number of top level, Iranian officials were, because they back Hezbollah, don't forget, right? They're the puppet masters behind Hamas. And so, you know, Hezbollah continues bombing northern Israel, Houthi attacking ships, Hamas doing what it's doing. Iran's really never not been involved in this, and now they are directly implicated. And certainly never made secret that they want to wipe Israel off the map. And they can certainly do a lot of damage because they've got bombs that are much, much, much bigger and much more destructive. So what happens now? I mean, Israel did get help over the weekend in taking down some of those weapons, the UK, US, but also more significantly, I think, from Jordan and Saudi Arabia. So what does that tell Iran? And what will happen next? Richard Goldberg is a former director of the Countering Iranian Weapons of Mass Destruction for the White House National Security Council, joining us now. Thanks, Richard, for joining.
Of course.
All right. Good morning. What do you make? I mean, everyone's kind of trying to play armchair quarterback, over this. Is when do, you know, when does Israel respond? Will they respond? What does that look like? Biden making clear that, look, we're not going to take part in any kind of counteroffensive. So where do you see this going?
Well, I think it's a moment to really reflect on where we are, how we got here, and then decide where we go from here. This is a major attack by Iran crossing a Rubicon.
Yeah.
This is 120 ballistic missiles being fired at Israel, in addition to 30 cruise missiles and then the 170 drones. I think a lot of people think about missile warfare. You hear about rockets and missiles, and they all sort of blend together. And we think about all the Hamas rockets that were fired from Gaza over many years, these homemade rockets that were intended to inflict terror, but were never existential to Israel. Iran's ballistic missile program is intended to be an existential threat to the state of Israel, mm-hmm. a country the size of New Jersey, taking 120 ballistic missiles flying yeah. in is massive in its intent and its potential damage. So, great that the missile defense system of Israel and the coordination with the United Kingdom and U.S. was successful, given a week of preparation to get ready for all scenarios and take most of these missiles out of the sky and the drones, et cetera. But my goodness, why would the supreme leader of Iran believe that he could launch 120 ballistic missiles at Israel and get away with it and have no consequences, no cost for doing so? And by the way, right now, it sort of appears that mm-hmm. he bet correctly.
Yeah.
Because we're already talking about pulling Israel back from imposing any cost, and there's no concrete conversation of what economic or political costs will Canada, United Kingdom, United States impose on Iran right now. And one last point mm-hmm. I'll make, we also have to have some self-reflection about the distance that countries put between themselves and Israel that emboldens Iran to act. They watch Canada announce they're cutting off arms to Israel. That emboldens Tehran. Ottawa played a role in this, whatever size you want to ascribe. But right now would be the moment for the Trudeau government to wake up and say, hey, we're restarting arms sales, we're standing with Israel, and we're putting Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps on the terror list.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I'm certainly not going to hold my breath because that pressure has been there for quite some time. You know, we've got 700 of, you know, some of the highest upper echelon Iranian, you know, personnel that should not be in this country, and that yet they're in this country. You know, those who are with the IRGC who, you know, somehow come here and do whatever they want, and our government doesn't act to get them out. And I would think because the red line has been moved so many times with, you know, other, you know, escalations in wars by the Obama and Biden administration, Iran probably rightly thinks that nothing will happen. But the other thing is, you know, the Biden administration fueled this. How many tens of billions of dollars have they given to Iran to restart their nuclear program? So, again, what does don't mean when Joe Biden says it? You know, and why wouldn't Iran strike back, right?
Exactly right. We have a $10 billion sanctions waiver in effect right now, renewed just last month by the Biden administration, giving Iran access to cash that they could use to subsidize their budgets, freeing up $10 billion elsewhere in their system. Much bigger dollar figure. We've turned a blind eye to all the Iranian oil shipments to China to allow them to reap those benefits. That's potentially $100 billion since Joe Biden took office. Then you have our European allies, Britain, France, and Germany, who have refused to trigger the snapback of the UN sanctions, which they could do with a simple letter to the Security Council. And then, of course, you have places like Canada, as you just mentioned. Despite the threat to Canadians from the Iranian penetration throughout Canada, refusing to put the IRGC on the criminal code's terror list. And then you add on the political warfare against Israel these past few weeks, the cutoff of arms sales from Canada.
Yeah.
That's combustible. That's combustible. That is showing Iran, we're going to reward you for bad behavior while we put pressure on the democracy, our ally, who is the victim of your terrorism. And that's simply going to incentivize more escalation.
Yeah, and I'll point out that it was the Trudeau government that lifted sanctions against Tehran back in 2016, and it was under this presumption, and certainly what Obama was saying was, well, you know, they've agreed to scale back their nuclear program, which, of course, it's Iran. They lied, and that's not what happened. And so, you know, when we get leaders, including our own, saying, you know, we will stand behind Israel, and Israel's got the unequivocal support to defend itself, they don't actually mean that, right? Like, it's just, I don't even know why anyone says it anymore, because as soon as Israel prepares to launch anything, you know, they'll get slapped back on these international rules that no one else has to follow. You know, it almost seems forgotten that while Israel did respond and shoot and take out a couple of IRGC generals, you know, Hezbollah has been lobbing bombs for months now, right? No one even reports on it. So it's not like Iran never was part of this. They've been letting all their proxies do the dirty work, which they've been doing for a long time.
Correct. And you add in the Houthis in Yemen as well to that laundry list there with their nonstop missile attacks and drone attacks on commercial shipping and U.S. Navy, other coalition naval vessels in the Red Sea. That's exactly right. And by the way, you're exactly right as far as politicians who would say we support Israel, we stand with Israel. Any political leader that says we condemn what Iran just did. You know what Justin Trudeau can do in the next 2 hours? If he actually supports Israel, if he actually condemns what Iran just did, announce you are restarting your arms sales to Israel, period. I don't even care if you do nothing else today, but do that. If you can't do that, you do not support Israel at this moment or ever, and you absolutely are rewarding Tehran for launching 120 ballistic missiles at the state of Israel.
Yeah. We're talking to Richard Goldberg joining us here, former director for countering Iranian weapons of mass destruction for the White House's National Security Council. Just before I let you go, Richard, response from Saudi Arabia and Jordan, the takeaway, I mean, no one wants this to escalate further, but certainly there are many, many more than not in the Arab nations that very much want Israel to finish the job. And so what do you take away from Saudi Arabia and Jordan, you know, lending their support over the weekend?
Well, what a game-changing scenario we're in here, and how disconnected it is from the rhetoric of the past few months of all the pressure on Israel vis-a-vis Hamas and Gaza. When you see now, when the rubber meets the road and the true hand of all of this terrorism in the region reaches out, the Arab governments know that Israel is the only stabilizing force for them in the region that counterbalances Iran, because they see the United States typically unwilling to act. And it's at that moment that they say, absolutely, use our airspace. We might even intercept things that come across our airspace, because they do not want Iran to be successful. They don't want Iran on the march. That threatens their government.
Yeah.
The IRGC, by the way, Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, they're trying to destabilize the government of Jordan right now. They're smuggling weapons into Jordan. The Saudis are very concerned about that. So it's a really good thing that that's happening. I wish that instead of just being private about their support for Israel and their opposition to Iran, they would say that publicly as well.
Yeah. Is there any way that Israel doesn't and can't respond?
Well, they're under a lot of pressure right now from the president of the United States not to respond.
Yeah.
And that's a statement of reality.
Would the United States not respond?
Well, you look at the White House spokespeople right now and the president, and they're saying, hey, you knocked down 99% of the missiles. Good job. Big victory. But no, that's a success in defense. That's not a victory. It's not a win that the Islamic Republic of Iran felt it could launch 120 ballistic missiles and get away with it. And by the way, you might just prove them correct.
Yeah. Appeasement has not worked yet, but boy, oh boy, what a complicated time. I appreciate your time, Richard, on this. Thanks very much.
Anytime.
Richard Goldberg joining us, former director for countering Iranian weapons of mass destruction for the White House's National Security Council. So again, we don't know when the response will be, what it will look like, but we are on kind of tenterhooks right now, waiting to see what Israel's next move will be. I suspect they are not going to wait for their allies to give them permission. Not this time.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.